Normie Rowe singing Que Sera Sera. What a fantastic version. It's hard to let that go. It's a song that features in the Melbourne Theatre Company stage adaptation of Jasper Jones, which is, of course, the best-selling novel by West Australian Craig Silvey. Jasper Jones is set in a small mining town in WA in the mid-1960s, and it follows teenager Charlie Buckton and the town outcast Jasper Jones, who discover the body of a girl hanging in a tree. So it's both a coming-of-age novel and a whodunit. Since the book was published in 2009, Jasper Jones has been studied in schools, and there's a movie adaptation underway starring Toni Collette and Hugo Weaving. As a play, Jasper Jones began life for Barking Gecko Theatre in Perth, but now it's being staged in Melbourne by the MTC. Joining me from Perth is the author of Jasper Jones, Craig Silvey. From Sydney, we have the playwright Kate Mulvaney, and in Melbourne, two of the actors in the play, Taylor Ferguson and Nick Denton. Hello, all of you, and welcome to Books and Arts.
Hello.
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 So we're stretching across the great nation, which is sort of, you know, appropriate for Jasper Jones, which seems to be putting its tentacles across all art forms, Craig. Did you imagine when you were writing this novel that it would have all of these other afterlives?
Oh, of course. I was never in doubt that it would bring the nation together.
That's the kind of confidence I like to hear from a writer.
Absolutely.
Well, what about if we start with its first afterlife, which as a play, what, is it a book that you think particularly works for the stage?
Well, of course. I mean, I guess the proof is there. It's been very fortunate to have had three iterations now at three different companies, the last one being at the MTC at the moment. I think it's been enormously successful on stage. Kate's done a masterful job of bringing the material to that format, and yeah, it's working really well.
And I think part of that success has to be down to the character of Jasper Jones in particular. How did he come to you, Craig?
I'm not entirely sure. It's not easy to explain. It started as a name. It just had this kind of alliterative quality that kept echoing around in my brain, and it wouldn't quite let me go. And it felt a bit like augury, you know. It felt as though I'd been given something, and so I kept thinking about that name and the kind of character that might be attached to it. And then I had a figure. I had a form, and I wanted to learn more about him. But he was mysterious to me and a little bit, like Charlie in the novel, you know. It wasn't until I had an access point, which was Charlie, to follow him and work out what his story was. And so that's how it happened for me.
What about the setting? It's set in mid-1960s. What was this setting? Why was that appealing for you?
Well, for a few reasons initially. One, I knew that I was writing a work of Australian Gothic, and so it felt as though this would be an apt period to set in, since so many of my favourite Gothic stories were set in and around the 60s or came out in the 60s. The other thing really is, as a novelist, you look for pressure, you look for conflict, and around about that time, it was you look at the backdrop of the Vietnam War, you look at the civil rights movement, you look at Australia at a point where these sorts of pressures were becoming socially important. I knew I wanted a lot of those pressures to bleed into the story as well.
Mm. Yeah, it's this time of kind of interesting contrast, isn't it, of this sort of optimism and the kind of pop that we heard there with Normie Rowe, and then this undercurrents or the dark stuff with the war and other stuff that was happening socially at the same time. Kate, when you went to adapt Craig's book into a play, did you work with him, or were you solo in making this story yours for the stage?
I honestly believe in if you have the original author there at your kind of beck and call, to use them as much as possible. I've adapted Shakespeare in the past, and that hasn't
been
quite so easy. But Craig and I have really similar upbringings. We're really we get on really, really well. We're good friends now, and that came from just being honest and respecting my own process, which is to go away and write alone for a good amount of time, but always sending him emails asking, hey, what did you, you know, what's important to you that we say, and what do you think about the, this trajectory for this character, and what's more important in this scene, do you think, this issue or this issue? Mm. And Craig was always so beautifully gracious and generous and forthcoming with his opinion whilst always letting me as well put my mark on it as a playwright.
Oh, and as I said earlier, it's got these two sort of different things happening in it as a story. One is this whodunit and one is a coming of age story. Was there one of those sides that you wanted to foreground?
Do you know what? It shifts. It's shifted in each kind of incarnation of the play. I think when I first wrote it, I was more interested in the whodunit kind of level, and just because I'd never really written a play like that before. But a lot of my work is are coming of age stories, and I can't help but just as Craig was talking about, with the backdrop that we have of that time and my own personal history, my father's a Vietnam veteran. I grew up in country Western Australia, in a very multicultural community. I really wanted to. I could see myself in Charlie Buckton, and I could see the coming of age that was happening there. And so I think the second production was more of that, and the third production is kind of a mix of both, very much so, yeah.
Nick Denton, you play Charlie Buckton. What kind of sense do you have of him as a character? How do you describe Charlie?
Usually when I describe Charlie, it is from that kind of bookish young, naive, like naive to the world in actual experience. However, it's this kind of knowledge through books that he really lives this fantasy of a life that he'd probably like to live. And so I think that's the greatest thing about this play and the book, is when you have someone like Jasper Jones, who is this catalyst for an experience outside of Mark Twain's novels and stuff like that. So I think I usually explain that he's trying to live a life that is away from books, and I think that's the loveliest part about him.
I think all bookish teenagers dream of someone like Jasper Jones appearing at their window at night and
totally
enticing them to an actual real-life adventure.
Yeah.
Taylor Ferguson, you play two roles in this production of Jasper Jones. Who do you play?
I play Laura Wishart and Eliza Wishart.
And who are they?
Laura is the young girl gone missing. And Eliza is her sister, who's a year younger than Laura. She's 14 and Laura is 15.
And now Taylor and Nick, we are going to hear an excerpt from this production of Jasper Jones. I believe it is one that may include a reference to the correct anatomical name for the male member. Is this true?
Yes.
So this is a warning, listeners, that if the word penis upsets
penis.
You need to hum to yourself for the next few minutes and then rejoin us on
RN. I can't wait
to
say this on radio.
Yeah. I think this
is the opportunity that RN is giving you, Taylor Ferguson. Taylor and Nick, let's hear something from Jasper Jones.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello.
When is Jeffrey batting?
Oh, by the looks of things, probably later tonight when both of the teams have gone home.
I like your shirt.
Thank you. I like your smell.
Thank you.
How is your family?
Christmas was really weird. Mum had already bought presents for Laura, so she just wrapped them all up and gave them to me. Then she said I'll have to give them back to Laura when she comes home. And Dad, well, Dad is acting like he never really had a daughter.
It's okay. There's no snot.
You know those days when you get the mean reds?
The mean reds?
Not the blues. The blues are when you just feel a bit sad. The mean reds are different. The mean reds are when you don't even know what you're afraid of. I'm not a good person, Charlie. I don't even know why you talk to me.
A tree. A tree. Doesn't know it's a tree. It doesn't know how pretty its flowers are. or how beautiful they smell, or how soft and sweet its fruit is. You can't feel how warm I am when I put my arms around it. It can't hear me when I tell it these things. It doesn't know anything. I'm glad you're not a tree. That's a poem I wrote. Hey, would you rather have a hat of spiders or penises for fingers?
Are the spiders alive?
I'm afraid so.
And are they poisonous?
Absolutely. Oozing neon green poison.
Then penis fingers.
Oh, me too.
Good. Then we can go and live in New York in the winter and wear mittens to hide our hideous penis fingers. Look, Charlie, Jeffrey's batting.
So that's it.
So not only did you get to say penis fingers, you got to snot as well on the radio to the nation. Thank you.
I blew it in my hands.
Covered in snot.
It's an image that we can carry with us. Taylor Ferguson and Nick Denton, who are both performing in the MTC production of Jasper Jones. Craig Sylvie, is that the kind of voices that you heard in your head when you were writing this novel?
Sorry, I'm just reeling back here. Out of context, that's not going to make a lot of sense to the nation.
No.
I give us some context then. What's happening in the novel when that happens?
Where do I begin? In the novel at this point, Charlie's best friend, Jeffrey, who is of Vietnamese ethnicity, who is cricket obsessed, but can never quite make the team, finally gets his opportunity to play, and everyone's down at the local oval and watching, and Charlie spies Eliza sort of sitting coquettishly reading at the other end of the oval, and he wanders over there to flirt with her essentially and ask her how she's doing, which is where that exchange comes from. I can't quite explain the penis fingers to you.
That's something for you to take up with your analyst, Craig.
That's correct. Yeah, we're still working through that.
The cricket scene that that readers of the novel, I mean, for many readers, it's one of their favourite parts
it
of
is.
The book.
Yes.
And how did you go about adapting that so that it would work on stage? And why was it important for you to have that in this production?
Well, with the whole book, I mean, I was given such a gift in adapting this book to the stage, but the reason it's a gift is because it's loved by so many people and had been read by so many people that my job first up was to go to as many people as I could and say, what's your favourite bit? What do you want to keep? What's important to you that I put on stage? And the two answers I got the most were the cricket match and the superheroes argument. Which is who's better, Batman or Superman. And people were really, really vocal about this with me, particularly about the cricket match. But the trouble with Mr. Sylvie's cricket match is that it goes for about 20 pages, which is fantastic when you're reading a book. But on stage, my job is to take the novel and reduce it to 2 hours.
I think a lot of cricket matches would benefit by being in production, quite frankly. We could just employ you on the worldwide of sports. That'd be good, Kate.
Absolutely. Okay. I'll get my white jacket ready. But it was because it's my favourite part of the book too, and it felt almost a bit like a travesty to reduce it so much. But the thing is, when you've got living, breathing actors performing these characters, It rushes by in a second, so I was allowed to indulge a little bit, but at the same time I was still able to reduce. And the cricket match it's a beautiful part of the play that Sam Strong has directed for Melbourne Theatre Company and Anne Accordingly has designed, because it's you really do feel like you're watching that love story that you just heard by Taylor and Nick happening at the same time that someone's having finally their moment on a cricket pitch, which is Jeffrey Liu. It's a fantastic moment.
Well, if you are in Melbourne, you've got to get along and see this on stage while you can. The production at MTC is running until now, the 10th of September, but it is popular, so you need to get in quick. Thank you so much, all of you, for coming into Books and Arts. Craig Silvey, who's the author of the book Jasper Jones, and Kate Mulvaney, who's written the stage adaptation. And you also met the actors Taylor Ferguson and Nick Denton. On Books and Arts, we are about to head to the movies.